Well, good morning. With those great stories from Gideon, always great stories. Thank you. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. Bless the children in Children's Church. Thank you for each one here in the sanctuary. I ask that you will touch each and every heart by your Spirit, that you, dear Holy Spirit, will touch, that you will help everybody, Father, to recognize your word, the things that you want to reveal to them, and may not one person leave today without knowing your touch and that word that you have for them, that you might be glorified, that the name of Jesus might be lifted up, for we ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
We're going to be starting a new series of messages entitled Banner of Love. I'm excited about this new series about the Banner of Love, because it talks about our relationship with God, our love relationship with Him. And it's a series of messages that deal with phases of the Christian life and the love relationship that we have with Him. Today we're going to be looking at an unusual example of that love and that relationship that actually reflects our love and relationship with Christ. And what I'd like you to do is, as we're going through this, because they are seemingly passages that you're going, what? What's that got to do with this? That hopefully and prayerfully you'll see how they tie in clearly. And so in 1 Samuel 17, 57 to 18:3, which is a short number of verses, it says, "Then as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, 'Whose son are you, young man?' So David answered, 'I am the son of your servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite.' Now when he had finished speaking to Saul, the soul of Jonathan was knit to the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Saul took him that day and would not let him go home to his father's house anymore. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul." I don't know if you catch any of the similarities or the relationship between our receiving Christ and what happened on that moment that we received Him. That love relationship that we had begun with Jesus. We receive Christ as our Savior. He comes into our heart. And what do you see with most Christians? They're leaping. They're excited. They're joyful. They're discovering the love of Jesus in their heart. And when they begin to realize the Holy Spirit speaking in their heart, speaking in their soul to them, saying, "Hello, I'm here, I'm real, it's true, I'm Jesus, I am living in your heart, and I will never, ever leave you." When we start to make that distinction of difference between ourselves and the person of Jesus living inside of us, that's truly exciting. And we begin to see the love relationship that had taken place. David, of course, had slew Goliath, that giant of the Philistines. And there was great victory. The Philistines ran scared, and many of them were just slaughtered as a result. The greater hand against Israel was made to be that of the lesser, in the fact that God took care of them. And Israel was saved. And individual lives were saved as well. And what happened was that David was telling King Saul what exactly had happened and why he felt that he could do that, etc. And after he had spoken with Saul for a while, Jonathan, Saul's son, was enamored with him, or just amazed by David, that he felt the sense of his own soul being united with his. And then to come back, that he knew that David, that he felt the same way toward Jonathan. And it's interesting how sometimes that will happen in relationships. Even like the story we heard of the Gideons. The one brother, you know, got saved and went to go tell the other brother with a little bit of, fear. And come to find out, he fell in love with the Lord at the same time. You know, which is such a testimony. But what we see here is that we see the bond of the two brothers with Jesus, right? And we see the bond of David and Jonathan as and the bond of their souls together as two men of God. But when you and I receive Christ as our Savior, there is a bond. The Holy Spirit comes into our heart. We receive Him, we know Him, and we begin to love Him very much. And so what I'd like you to look at in your fill out, in your bulletin, if you like filling those out, this very important life event between Jonathan and David and the victory for Israel is a typology of our deliverance from total destruction for our sin through the victory Christ gave us through the cross. Jonathan saw the victory that David had brought by defeating the Philistines, by defeating Goliath. And there was a reaction there between Jonathan and David, as I just explained to you. But the correlation, the typology that reflects our relationship with God is that, again, this insert says this very important life event between Jonathan and David and the victory for Israel is a typology of our deliverance from the enemy. Our deliverance from the wrath of God, our deliverance from eternal separation from God, our delivery from literally going to a physical hell for our sin. And so it's a typology of our deliverance from total destruction for our sin through what? The victory Christ gave us on the cross. Now, our culture, our natural human tendencies in the flesh is always to see what we can get for ourselves out of something. What is there in that for me? And so in our beginning relationship with Jesus, what we looked at was we heard the gospel. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Believe that Jesus is God's Son sent by the Father in heaven to die on the cross for our sins, and that He was buried and He rose on the third day, and that He's alive today in heaven, that He's there and He wants to come live in your heart. That we believe that. And if you do that you gain eternal life. What did we gain by receiving Christ? Eternal life. That might be the first picture. I'm saved. I know when I die, I know I'm going to heaven. Right? But one of the things that is the most important thing beyond that, I think, is that when I received Christ, they overlooked the wonder of what I received. I received Christ. See, there's a focus of I received eternal life through faith in Christ, but we really should be looking at I received Christ. Because Christ is the focus. It's, you know, David, you know, defeated the Philistines and gave great victory. Christ did that on the cross, but our relationship yielded and bound with Jesus should be the focus. And so because there's the riches of our faith in our relationship with Christ in our lives. And so we see that correlation of our joy, of the victory we received when we first received Christ as our Savior. We can see the bonding of our souls together with Christ. We can see our love for God is that it was based upon the marvelous work that Jesus did for our behalf. We can see from that first time of not first time from that memory of receiving Christ that there was a new and a fresh love because of the victory that we found in Christ. And that was a beginning of a great relationship with Christ. It's a beginning. Like any other relationship, relationships have the potential of growing. But no relationship is guaranteed that growth. And so we must invest in that relationship. And so this first love experience with Jesus, our Savior, is just the beginning. I want to emphasize that it's just the beginning of a great and unexpected love relationship with Him. And there's a transition that can take place in every Christian's lives. In every Christian's lives, there's a transition that can take place that can bring their love for Jesus beyond the cross to the throne He sits on today. You say, what does that mean? One brings salvation, one brings submission. And oftentimes we think submission is robbery and robs us of joy. But submission to Christ does just the opposite. Submission to Christ brings joy and fullness in life. And so it can bring the acknowledgement of Him as our King, that He has all authority and reigning power over our lives. In your insert, it says his kingship in our lives is a door to a deeper love relationship with him. Remember that. His kingship. Don't look at God's kingship, his lordship over your life as something that robs us. Look at his kingship in our lives as the door to a deeper love relationship with him. The more we yield ourselves to him, the more we love him, the more we submit to him, the more we know him, the greater our love relationship is in him. And we can praise God for that. Every believer in Christ does have the opportunity to pursue him and discover the riches God has beyond our imagination. I think we sell God short this side of heaven. I think there are things that we can have this side of heaven that are beyond what we could ever imagine or expect as we follow him and discover the riches of who he is and marvel at what God gives and what he does. I want to look at another typology real quickly. And this one, again, can look as though as a strange typology regarding the love relationship we have with God or can have with God. It begins in 1 Kings chapter 10, 1 through 8. Now when the queen of Sheba heard the fame of Solomon concerning the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. I love that. She came to Jerusalem with a very great retinue, with camels that bore spices, very much gold and precious stones. And when she came to Solomon, she spoke with him about all that was in her heart. So Solomon answered all her questions. There was nothing so difficult for the king that he could not explain it to her. And when the queen of Sheba had seen all the wisdom of Solomon, the house that he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his servants, the service of his waiters, and their apparel, his cupbearers, and his entryway by which he went out to the house of the Lord, there was no more spirit in her. It took her breath away. Then she said to the king, "It was a true report which I heard in my own land about your words and your wisdom. However, I did not believe the words until I came and saw with my own eyes, and indeed the half was not told me." That's cool too. "Your wisdom and prosperity exceed the fame of which I heard. Happy are your men, and happy are these your servants who stand confidently before you and hear your wisdom." The Queen of Sheba, rich as could be, brought all this marvelous treasure to him, had her own palace and all the wonderful things that she had. But when she got to Solomon, what she had or even has didn't even match or come close to what Solomon had or what he had built. But even more so, I love the fact that she sought him out to ask him questions, because that is something you and I need to do with God. We need to remember that we hear the things about God, how wonderful he is, what power he has had in our lives, what wisdom he has in his word. But if we're not willing to go beyond what we hear about Jesus, but to go to him and start asking the questions, start seeking the riches, not just of his word, but his word applied to our lives, which affects our relationship with Jesus. When we start growing in Christ and the wonder of who he is, and noticing this story about the Queen of Sheba, the table that he spread was bigger than and more grand than ever thought. And that's what God has for us. He has things for us this side of heaven that are far better than what we thought. In fact, the servants were dressed well. We're to be dressed in robes of righteousness. We're to be carriers of the light of Christ as the children of God. And his servants were pleased to be in his house to serve him. You and I are called to serve him and be perfectly content and happy about doing so. And again, I love the fact that she was willing to ask him questions, because that's your prayer time. God, I got to ask questions. This is not polished prayers or public prayers, as so many think prayers are. This is prayers from the heart that can be broken up, or words that we can't put out there, or questions that are very difficult that reflect the depth of our own souls. But we're willing to go to God himself and say, "God, I've got a question. I don't understand. Give me direction." Whatever the case is, we have that privilege. Just like the Queen of Sheba went to Solomon and had great privilege to talk to him. Who is Solomon compared to God? Who is Solomon compared to Jesus? What greater privilege do you and I have that we can go to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, Creator of heaven and earth, our Heavenly Father, and ask Him any question we want to, and He's able to explain every one. I love that. No matter what riches we have this side of heaven, doesn't even, what's that word? Pair or compare or there's another word, but that's okay. That reflects the greatness of His glory. She came and she tested Him to see if it was true. Test Jesus. He says, test me and prove me. Try me. Go to Him. Examine Him. Discover Him. Experience Him. Trust Him. And see what God does. And after we discover the King's wisdom and wealth, the Queen of Sheba saw exceedingly more than what the rumors were. The more we dive into Jesus, the more we're going to realize there's far more than what we thought was possible in our relationship with Jesus this side of heaven. This side of heaven. And I love the fact that she had no more spirit in her. She was exhausted. She was just, wow. And sometimes when we finish in prayer and we're with God, or maybe after we've prayed about something, we see God carried out, we just go, wow, and our breath is taken away because God has done what we thought was impossible. And she recognized what joy there was just serving in His presence. So all the servants, they were content just serving in His presence. And you and I are to be the same type of servant. This great joy of just serving in His presence. What a joy. What a joy. I want to give a quote from Matthew Henry, a 1600s British minister. He put it this way. Here the truth exceeded, and all who through grace are brought to commune with God will say the one half was not told them of the pleasures and the advantages of wisdom's ways. Glorified saints much more will say of heaven that the thousandth part was not told them. And we'll look at 1 Corinthians 2:9 in a second. She pronounced them happy that constantly attended Solomon. With much more reason may we say of Christ's servants, blessed are they that dwell in His house. They will be still praising Him. And in 1 Corinthians 2:9, it says, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. The banner of love is the title of the beginning of this series of messages. The typologies that we looked at today are a reflection of some of those typologies that we're going to be looking at through Scripture that reflects that loving relationship. In your insert, there's another feeling. It says, like the Queen of Sheba, we too, as we grow in knowledge of Christ and commune with Him, will discover that there is even more to God's wisdom, riches, and love than we can fathom, and a great joy of just being in His presence. I don't think it's just reserved for when we get to heaven. I think it's reserved for us here as well. We just get to heaven and see the wonder of how much more. One more quote. Spiritual fellowship with the Lord and the hidden secret place of the heart is a very sacred thing. God Himself has opened to us by His own revelation that fullness of this sweet and holy fellowship so that He may make us to know the paths of love and at the same time challenge us to walk in them. Taiwan Gospel Book Room, January 1954. Our prayer time, our personal time, our relationship with Jesus is personal. But when we have that personal relationship revealed to us, put it out there. The Queen of Sheba's story was put in here for us to know. When we have a story about what our faith in Christ, what our love relationship in Christ is like, put it out there so people can know, so they can see and hear the wonderful truth of that love relationship with Jesus. Finally, Many Christians are content with a mere legal union with Christ the Lord. I've received Christ, it's all I need, right? And so they get a mere legal union with Christ the Lord. And like Porky Pig at the end of a Looney Tunes cartoon would say, that's not all, folks. He does it better than I do. That's not all, folks, right? The goal of this series of messages is to encourage every believer to reach a fuller and more mature love for Jesus. We can never stop growing more in love with him. Let's go to the Lord. Father, I want to thank you for each one here today. I want to thank you, Father, for Dean Johnson coming and sharing what you're doing through the Gideon ministry and what you're continuing to do through that and how you've blessed. Because your word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. And it pierces down to the marrow and the heart of soul of man. And so when the word goes out, there's power. And we praise you and praise you and praise you for that. We also praise you for the love relationship that you want to have with each one of us. That love relationship is not simply attained and at a status quo, but that it's a love relationship that can grow richer, richer, deeper and deeper, and fuller in you. So as we go through this series, Banner of Love, reveal that to each and every one of us in deeper ways. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for the Word Infusion audio podcast. We would like to encourage you to do three things. First, please email us at thewordinfusion@mindspring.com and tell us how this podcast has ministered to you. Secondly, we would like to encourage you to join the Word Infusion Facebook page by clicking like at the top. This will provide you with announcements of podcasts, live online Bible studies, and live online discussions. We will also send you Bible verses. Lastly, we would like to encourage you to share this podcast and the Facebook page info with your friends, family, and church. Thank you once again for being with us. We look forward to hearing from you.